You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the last November PFF forecast. It is a beautiful Wednesday evening. We're going to do the Seth duo with a little Judah Fortyang in the middle. We're going to talk Thursday night and Sunday night and perhaps a pet peeve from our Canadian buddy, alt spreads and live in-game strategy with Judah and the lock of the week with our main man, Tej. Let's rock. Welcome. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you? I heard you pulled your hamstring.
Well, it was a calf, actually. Thank you.
Calf, okay.
It wasn't great. You know, let's just say this. I blame it on the weather. It's a little cold here in California. Let's see. It got to 57 today. So please forgive.
That's just, you should have heard the conversation we had before you got on here late was about how cold and depressing it was because it's getting dark at 4 p.m. So maybe you did overhear that and just, you know, are slipping this in.
I had to rub it in. I should say I'm so excited because we have Cowboys Colts and a 10 point spread on Sunday night. And, you know, what better way to, if you're going to watch that, then you've got to bet on it. So we're going to talk to Seth about it. Here in a second, we have a slightly more compelling game on Thursday night, Seth, with it was about time that that Allen and Kirk got something somewhat decent, and that is Buffalo, New England. I got to say, I am a little surprised by the fact that Buffalo is only a 3.5 point favorite. Again, New England did look good against Minnesota. Scoring 26 points. They did lose. They did not cover. And of course, both teams coming off of a long break playing on Thanksgiving. So Seth, let's start here. Is there a matchup that makes you think the Patriots have a chance here, or is there a key matchup actually that you think swings the other way?
Well, I think it is interesting. When you talk about matchups, we talk about the Patriots playing a lot of cover one, playing on man coverage. They've been really good. I mean, they've been really good for the past like 5 years doing it and have been good this year. I think the thing that makes me nervous is the Bills have really good wide receivers. And we've seen that the Patriots can shut down middling wide receiver groups, lower tier wide receiver groups, have had trouble against, you know, Waddle and Hill last week against Jefferson and Thielen. So I think that's an issue, I think. So it's like, yes, the numbers have been really good over the course of a season, but shutting down, you know, Diggs and Gabriel Davis and this Buffalo offense, and honestly just shutting down Josh Allen in man coverage with his scramble ability is tougher and probably easier said than done. So I think that is a matchup to watch. I honestly kind of like the Bills. And again, even if you just look at the numbers, from last season, they went off. They didn't punt the last two. You know, they played three times last year, the wild card game, and I think week 16 or week 17, Bills didn't punt in either of those games. So really like the matchup here for the Bills. The issue for the Bills is like Deion Dawkins is out. The rest of the offensive line, Mitch Morse is back. He's a good player at center, but like you need the tackles to be good and Spencer Brown, and I think it's going to be David Quesenberry, the other tackle. Not very good. So that would be my concern.
Yeah, you mentioned the rushing ability of Josh Allen a little bit. There's always kind of been this Bill Belichick struggles against running quarterbacks, you know, thing that's been said forever. Truth to that? Any reasons why? And do you think you know, Allen is a good runner, but he's not a 4-4 Lamar Jackson, Justin Fields type guy. He's kind of more bruising. And you talked last week about how physical New England is. Maybe are they a better matchup with Allen than, you know, some of the speedier guys?
Well, I think it's different because, like, the Bills don't use, save for, like, really, really big games. And I don't think they'll consider, I mean, I know it's a Thursday night, you know, island game, but I don't think they'll consider it. I think they'll be able to move the ball without it. But the quarterback design runs is different. So, like, Allen is not a quarterback design run guy. Or he could be, but he's not asked to do that in this offense. He is a scramble guy. So I think that's a little different when we're talking about toughness and stopping the run. This is a completely different idea here because you're stopping, you're really trying to stop the pass, and then he ends up running. So a completely different idea here. That's why I think it's different. I also think that whole Belichick doesn't do well against running quarterbacks thing is probably, you know, I haven't done a lot of research into that, but it reminds me of the, you know, Nick Saban is not good against running quarterbacks. Nick Saban is not good against the spread because it happened two or three times. You know, they lost to Ole Miss in 2015. So Nick Saban's not good against the spread or whatever it was. I feel like that's probably the similar thing. He's not good against good quarterbacks. Like, no one's good against good quarterbacks, and those scrambling quarterbacks and running quarterbacks and obviously be a difference maker in a game. So I think that's kind of the issue here. The toughness, I mean, they should be able to stop the run. Like I said, the offensive line, not good. The Bills, just not a good running football team. So it should be able to stop the run and be physical and be tough and do all that Patriots stuff. It's just going to be stopping the pass. It's going to be difficult.
You know, it's interesting as we talk about bets we might place here. The Patriots losing by one score to the Vikings, a team that, you know, kind of got lucky, I guess we could say, against the Bills. If we remember that game, that was the game where everyone after that was like, "Well, are the Vikings the best team in the NFC?" And it's like, actually, their point differential isn't super great. They then got the doors blown off them by the Cowboys. So, you know, it's interesting how these narratives kind of change. I wonder if this game were happening, prior to the Patriots sort of showing that their offense existed against the Vikings, if this would be different, because it wasn't particularly impressive against the Jets. Seth, let's start with you. If you have to bet one single bet in this game, what is it?
I have a few here that you can pick any one. It's going to be either you can go, I like the overs for the receivers. So if you want, you got, I see here Gabe Davis over 3.5 catches. Stephon Diggs over 6.5 catches. I like both of those. Honestly, even like player longest reception, I see Gabe Davis at 22.5, Stephon Diggs at 26.5, man coverage. And I also think, like, you know, the weather's going to be like okay. I mean, okay for like a Northeastern, you know, December 1st game, but going to be okay, but a little bit enough wind that, and if anyone's going to break the wind with his throwing capability, it's Josh Allen. I think there's catch and run opportunities. It's mad coverage. They're going to get a guy open. So pick one of those four. I think you're okay.
Brad, what about you?
Yeah, I like the Diggs one there. I thought they would do well against Justin Jefferson last week. They did not. He had 9 catches for 139 yards and a touchdown. So my favorite, though, going back to the well, this is my favorite bet of the last month for whatever reason, but over carries. So Damian Harris is not playing in this game for the Patriots. Mm-hmm. Ramondre Stevenson has clearly carved out a role as their top guy. Patriots never going to have a true workhorse. But over 15.5 carries in this game. You mentioned a little bit of weather, not a ton, but maybe enough with Mac Jones' noodle arm to, you know, run the ball more. I think it'll be a relatively, you know, one score game for the most of the game. So they won't move away from the run entirely. So that's the play I like tomorrow.
I like where your guys' heads are at. Couple of mismatches that I sort of want to take advantage of. By the way, you can find these in the PFF app. Go download it on the iOS App Store by searching PFF. But you mentioned Justin Jefferson torching the Patriots. The narrative around the Patriots sort of stopping number one threats, it has not come to fruition this year. And as good as Jonathan, you know, Jones has been, Stephon Diggs is better. And Jonathan Jones is not kind of that same caliber of stopper that maybe a Stephon Gilmore was in the past. So I like going along with what Seth is saying. I actually like kind of all three receivers, whether it's McKenzie in the slot against Miles Bryant, who ranks 70th in PFF grade, Jonathan Jones on the outside against Diggs, who ranks 14th. And of course, Diggs moves into the slot and does play out of the slot. And then Gabriel Davis, if he's matched up against Jalen Mills, a 36 PFF grade, ranks 107th among corners. So I like overs for those guys. Gabe Davis, 48.5 receiving yards. Stephon Diggs, I like over 6.5 receptions. Those would be the ones that I would play. And then McKenzie, I don't know that over 3.5 receptions is my favorite, but I think you could get that at decent plus money. I kind of like 32.5 receiving yards a little bit better if you're going to look there. All right, let's move to Sunday evening. This game not being flexed, in case anyone is wondering why San Francisco Miami is not playing on Sunday night. The reason for this is the Dallas Cowboys are a contender. Dallas Cowboys bring in ratings. They're 8-3. They have star players. This game is going to rate well, and that's why this game is on Sunday night. So stop complaining. If you want that to change, you need to change something about the way that people root for NFL in the U.S. Although I will say, like, Miami, San Francisco would do a very good rating, but that's just the power of the Cowboys. So Seth, this is an 11-point spread. Total 43.5. What's the biggest mismatch that you're seeing here?
I think it's really, you could go in a ton of different directions. Obviously, when we start with the Cowboys, hard to not talk about Cowboys pass rush, especially the edge rushers versus the Colts tackles, who have been just miserable this year. The Colts offensive line's been miserable this year as a whole. You know, Kelly and Nelson inside not having their best years, and those two had to be the guys that, like, you know, propped up this unit. That hasn't happened. You can go in a bunch of different directions. I think the one thing, if I kind of flip it over and I think about, okay, what is something the Colts might have an advantage and maybe can help them stick around in the game? Grover Stewart and oh my God, the other defensive tackle, the very good defensive tackle from San Francisco. Yes, Brent Buckner, very good players, obviously, even though I don't know their names, but very good players. And Cowboys interior offensive line is okay. It's getting better. It's gelling, but it's okay. And the Cowboys are going to run the football. They have, you know, kind of been this kind of heavy pounded type of team since Dak's been back. They're under center. You know, they're going to run. Obviously, they're going to play action off of it, but more under center since Dak has been there. Maybe they get, you know, thinking they can just run the football and get out a W, and the Colts stop them on the ground and then force some longer yardage, third downs and second downs. And the Colts defense is good in general. I mean, it's been very good since like about week 5, week 6. So maybe that's the way they get out of it. But then again, the Cowboys have just been on fire since Dak has been back playing at a super high level. So I'll say the potential mismatch is Colts interior defensive line versus Cowboys interior offensive line. But Cowboys have a lot of advantages in this game.
All right, so this question, we already talked about the Bills. We just talked about the Cowboys. So kind of an aside, but I want to hear your thoughts. This might wrap up soon. Hopefully it doesn't go to the Giants and waste everyone's time. But in your opinion, the Buffalo Bills or the Dallas Cowboys, who needs Odell Beckham Jr. more to make a Super Bowl push this season?
I think that you would look at the receiving corps and probably say that, honestly, it's very equal, but I'm going to go with the Bills probably need him more. I think they could both teams could use a third receiver. You know, we know that Dallas just traded away their quote unquote third receiver in Amari Cooper this offseason. They haven't been able to replace him, but they've still been really good on offense. Same with the Bills. I mean, I know that they've looked kind of beatable, let's say, the past few weeks with the Josh Allen injury. I think they'll figure it out. I'm not really worried about them. So I'll say the Bills. I think the Bills just, you know, it's not going to matter if the Bills kind of don't get an offensive line figured out. And Deion Dawkins I don't think it's a long-term injury, but like I said, not playing on Thursday night. That would be my more concern with the Bills. I think the Cowboys are fine right now, to be honest. And if they get Tyron Smith back and kick Tyler Smith inside at guard, like, they're going to be really good. You know, you like Noah Brown, you like Dalton Schultz, like, they get other receiving options there. So I'll say the Bills for OBJ.
All right. Who or what are you betting in this game, Seth?
You know, the props aren't out yet, so I'm going to go with the under, which I think is like 44 or something like that.
43.5.
It just feels like this could be a blowout. I don't know how the Colts can move the ball. Now, I will say the one thing, and I'm always going to say this with the Cowboys defense, They are a very unique defense. They play cover one. They play man coverage at such a high rate. They show you one high at such a high rate that you could just – there are ways to beat that, right? And we saw it with the Packers, who are not a good offense, be able to move the ball against the Cowboys a couple weeks ago. So always a chance that a team just – the matchups just work in their favor schematically. But I do think it'll be probably blowout. And, you know, if it's 27-10, that's still under. If it's 31-10, that's still under. So I like the under.
Yeah. By the way, this line has moved out from Dallas by 9 to Dallas by 11. Not totally surprising after the Colts lost in a rather dramatic fashion to the Steelers on Monday night. Brad, what about you?
Yeah, our Steelers. So you mentioned the props are not out yet, but I still, whatever comes out, it's going to be my bet for this game. All right. So CeeDee Lamb, since Dak returned, has a 90.3 receiving grade, third in the league, has 15 explosive receptions, fourth in the league, and has 2.97 yards per route run, third in the NFL. He's been incredible since Dak was back at quarterback. And then Kenny Moore for the Indianapolis Colts did not practice today, might not play in this game. If he does play, he will not be 100%. It's a hip injury that kept him out of a Wednesday practice. So whatever his props are, they've been treating us well. I would go receptions more over yards. Because I think they'll, you know, feed him over the middle. Maybe doesn't break one off, but gets a bunch of catches. That's where I would lean.
You read my mind, man. I mean, it basically paid for my holiday, CeeDee Lamb over receptions on Thanksgiving. The analysis is exactly what you just said. Outside corners with Gilmore on one end, and then, you know, in a nickel defense, you might have Rodgers out there on the outside. Isaiah Rodgers, who's actually has played really, really well, has the second highest coverage grade of any corner in the NFL this season. But in the slot, you mentioned, so I really like CeeDee Lamb there. But, you know, that those aren't out yet. I'll say this. I do kind of like Colts plus 11. And this is a matchup. I feel like it's going to be the Spider-Man meme with Mike McCarthy and Jeff Saturday. They're both going to be thinking about the steak they're going to eat after the game and not thinking about the timeouts that they're not going to call. So what does bad clock management do? It means you have less opportunities to score. That keeps the game a little bit more depressed here. I always like, you know, the Colts coming off of a pretty embarrassing game, honestly, against the Steelers, who are not a very good team. The Cowboys, on the other hand, coming off of a nice cakewalk win. They're feeling themselves. So I kind of like Colts plus 11 if I have to play one side of this. But CeeDee Lamb is my favorite. Seth, before we get you out of here, a pet peeve.
All right, this is I'm pet peeving on myself here. I don't know if that I should have said that out loud. Anyways, Jordan Love comes into the game Sunday night to replace Aaron Rodgers, has a couple nice throws, and then you have a whole week of it. Guys, the Packers have found for the third straight time a Hall of Fame Pro Bowl quarterback in Jordan Love. I used to do this. We're still in it. We understand how the content machine goes burr, but we don't have to have 20 articles on the 9 Jordan Love throws when they're down by 10 or whatever, down by 12 when he comes into the game. We don't need to do it. I know it's going to keep happening. I'm just saying we don't need to do it. That's a little bit of a pet peeve of mine.
You don't think a 2 article per throw rate is optimal?
I've commissioned a painting of each throw. it's costing me a lot of money, but they're nice throws. So
yeah, when Christian Watson can take it 50 yards after a 6-yard crosser, yeah. I mean, that's just it was the placement that led to the yards after the catch, is what I would say.
This is the Jimmy G school of hard knocks. No, it it was funny. It's a great point, and we talked about this on Sunday. I do think that what you're talking about is the reason that they should play Love, because 9 throws does not a season make.
Yeah.
And you need to find out. So, it makes sense for them to do that. There's just no way that you can know after that. It is interesting though. If you don't play him for the rest of the season, you know, what do you do kind of going forward? You used a first round pick on him and he could end up just walking away, and you've seen like 50 throws. So I look forward to the Seth Galina masterpiece on Jordan Love and the 9 throws that he finishes the season with, because Aaron keeps playing.
Yeah.
That'll be great. That'll be a great offseason piece. Seth.
It's one throw per offseason month.
Yes. So there you go.
Just keep the content machine burning.
Perfect. Seth, we always appreciate you. Good luck, brother. All right. We're going to get to Judah here in just a minute. Before we do, DraftKings, the DraftKings Sportsbook, official sports betting partner of the NFL, is the go-to when betting on the NFL this holiday season. I don't know if Santa bets there. I assume it's regulated, not unregulated in North Pole. So he's getting a lot of teasers down. We just talked about a few that we really like. I look forward to the CeeDee Lamb overs once again. And if you bet $5 on any NFL team to win their game, maybe you do it on the Thursday night game, then you have that $150 in free bets to use on Sunday. It's very, very simple. Use promo code PFF. When you go sign up, that helps us quite a bit. Really appreciate it. If you are signing up, this is a good place to do it and get a 100% boost on stepped up same game parlays as well. So you can include that CeeDee Lamb in there and profit. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code PFF. Place a $5 bet on any NFL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. Only at the DraftKings Sportsbook with code PFF. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See the show notes for details. I know you guys always take a look at those. Symbol, it's like the stock exchange for sports teams. You can go buy shares in your favorite sports team at Symbol, S-I-M-B-U-L-L. When you sign up with code Forecast, your first deposit comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you're hesitant on joining, you don't have to be. Just go ahead and jump in. They're also offering a $500 risk-free deposit for new users who join the stock market for sports. It's pretty decent. So download the Symbol mobile app for iOS by searching S-A-M-B-U-L-L. Buy shares of your team, collect a dividend if your team wins games, and then trade the shares as you desire. Buy the dip, do whatever the hell it is that you do. All right. As usual, our good friend, Judah Forking. Actually, are you ready to record? I should. Good. 3, 2, 1. Welcome in to our good friend, Judah Fortgang, at Throw the Damn Ball. He of the live trading of in-game betting. I feel like you have turned it into a spectacle. If people aren't watching you do it, they're missing out. It's not quite the Wolf of Wall Street, but I think you're getting closer. Practice makes perfect. Welcome in, brother.
Thank you. Thank you. The Wolf of Wall Street minus all the crime, just the profits, you know, that's okay. Cool.
I thought you were going to say minus or just with all the, but something else. And you avoided that. but I'll let people, ask you that, on Twitter. Let's talk as we normally do, alt spreads that you like, and then your strategy for live betting. I can't tell you how much this helps me because I never think about this before I get into Sunday, but when we have this conversation, it's like, I don't need to think about it anymore. Roll into Sunday and have a game plan going. But let's start with an alt spread that you like this week.
Okay, I like the Dolphins. It's an alt spread with a total. I got -2.5 and over 42.5. I got it at +400. It's now down to, I think, 390. You can find it on DraftKings or MGM. And basically, the thesis is that the Dolphins are only implied for 20.5 points, which is obviously extremely low. They've scored 30-plus in each of the past four games with Tua healthy. And it's basically saying that the Niners defense can slow down the Dolphins. Mm-hmm. We've got like a general principle here, which is bet on elite, and I don't say that lightly, offenses against bad defenses. Against good defenses, right? They're probably not going to be able to slow the Dolphins down. If you take a pretty broad look at where the Dolphins stand, you'll probably see them in like the second tier. If it's an EPA chart, draft quality chart, whatever it is, kind of with the Eagles and the Bengals. But if you kind of just filter out the games where Tua didn't play, they're actually exactly with the Bills and Chiefs firmly in that tier one on offense. And I don't really see why the Niners are going to be able to slow them down. Basically, if you look at anything that a defense has thrown at Tua, whether it's pressure, whether it's man, zone, the blitz, he's basically in the top three in EPA in every single category, which leads me to believe the matchup's kind of irrelevant here. I see the Niners as being able to, at least keep up. But I think the Dolphins are the better team. I want the better quarterback and the better offense in this spot.
Better quarterback is Jimmy G, though.
I'm sorry. The tease.
Let me throw this one at you because I think, what we saw, a good example of this was Chiefs and Niners. And the Chiefs just absolutely dominated the 49ers in that game, you know, elite offense against what at that time, to be extremely clear, was still the number one defense in the NFL. But you've got Tua, who granted has like 103, I think it is, pass rating under pressure. And we know that's not sustainable. Perhaps the biggest mismatch in the NFL this week is Nick Bosa against Brandon Shell. Brandon Shell is a 43 PFF pass block grade. There are only three tackles in the NFL that are worse. Nick Bosa, top three PFF pass rush grade. How do you think about that in the context of, look, at maybe at full strength, but are there, you know, kind of these mitigating circumstances that you think change, you know, the trajectory? Because Teron Armstead is doubtful right now.
Right. And I probably should have included this actually, but something particularly striking about Tua's year this year is that he's throwing deep and doing so, throwing ball very quickly, right? His time to throw is like fifth lowest in the NFL. And like, sure, if Nick Bosa is winning in, you know, 2 seconds, every single pass rush snap, sure, no one's going to have success. But I think that what Tua has done so well this season is push the ball downfield and get it out quickly, in which case it kind of mitigates the you know, Bosa threat. But like, it's absolutely true. And like, if he throws the ball, if he's holding on to the ball for too long, this is exactly a live angle to bet, right? If it's not decisive and he's not quick, this is exactly the time to jump on the Niners.
I like it. I like where your head's at. All right. In game live betting strategy for this week, where are you turning?
Okay. We're going to start with tomorrow night's game, turning to some props, which, unfortunately we can't give for the Sunday games, but I'll at least, on Wednesday that is, but we'll start with Thursday. If the Patriots go down, Ramondre Stevenson has like a 33% target share, down, which is, I think, only behind Tyreek Hill in that same category. He's at like 34%. Right now, Stevenson's rushing prop is sitting at 33. If we see the Bills take a lead here, bet all of the Ramondre Stevenson receptions, receiving yards. Mac Jones really likes to look his way. That's a spot I don't think the market's going to be pricing in exactly kind of that angle. And it's really something to take advantage of.
Like it. We just talked about Stevenson, Brad.
I love that.
With Seth. Brad, do you have any that you're thinking about this week?
I had a larger comment or a larger question for you. Now that we're getting into the kind of elements part of the year, weather's a factor, not just wind, but also snow, rain, cold, whatever. Is there a way to, if you're watching a game or you're keeping an eye on forecast, stuff like that, to maybe fold that into how you could approach a live betting scenario?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's going to, in as much as we can glean kind of what the prices are, what's being priced in, right? Like, I think that's obviously something, right? If you're watching a game and there are clearly gusts of winds and a player, this is not a great example because he's out, but like Darnell Mooney, let's say, relies on a lot of his production on deep throws, right? If it's windy in Chicago and Fields is less likely to connect on the deep throw, but the market is still pricing in kind of that like season long average. That's exactly the spot to buy. If anything, though, there are certain times I'd actually look the other way, which is like oftentimes I think there's almost an overreaction to especially rain or snow. People think that like it really minimizes the passing game, but it's been talked about that it actually like really helps offensive linemen. If you see the market being over almost too zealous in pricing down and you're like watching the first quarter game and you're like, hey, like the Tom Brady game in the snow against, I think it was the Titans a bunch of years ago. And you're like, hey, the passing game is working perfectly, but the market's pricing it down. That's exactly a spot to buy. I think, look, models are great. They can't exactly account for what's happening in the precise moment of a game. And that's like, obviously the advantage to a live better.
Yeah. I like that. Any for Sunday that you're looking at?
I've got a few, but I'll go with Dallas against Houston. I think Dallas is first off, they've struggled to get going basically all year. If that line moves down to like 7, I think they can really extend on Houston.
Cleveland.
Yes. Sorry.
No, you're all good. I was going to say, maybe I'm the one that's on, smoking something, but
I'm off here.
This is, you know, it's okay because the Cleveland Browns are a team that is now starting a quarterback that shall not be named. So I think it was you showed the appropriate amount of respect to the Cleveland shit stains.
There you go. I don't know why I thought I had that matchup wrong. Look, I'm not going to touch Cleveland. I don't even know what's going to come this week. But another classic, Tennessee, obviously been very good scripted. And the Eagles, they've really started to show the cracks right? They were so dominant in the first half, especially in second quarter through the first half of the year. And I think we're starting to see that flip. And if Tennessee can get up here, I expect the Eagles to be able to rally in the second half against a Tennessee team that really can't score in the second half. And I think it's gotten pretty lucky on defense holding teams. I'm not sure they'll be able to slow down a now getting healthier Eagles team.
One that I was going to throw out here and see what you guys thought about this is, you know, we talked that so the Miami San Francisco game was one that you brought up. The other 4 o'clock game that I think is particularly interesting is Kansas City Cincy. Kansas City right now 2.5 point favorite. And you know, thinking about how this game might go, how it, the games against these two teams have gone in the past. If Kansas City, you know, if you kind of start out with Kansas City -2.5. They get out to a lead and then you're able to grab the Bengals at, you know, across the other side of three, you know, maybe you pick up another number or two. And then you've got, you know, a Bengals team that has come from behind in these situations before. You have a nice middle on a key number of three. That was one that I was considering. I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on how you might play that game.
Yeah. I can say that was on my list. It was actually the playoff game last year. It was one of the first I was like really live betting and I got a really juicy middle. But I think it kind of points to all those angles are certainly true. And I agree with them. It also points to just like offensive firepower creates volatility and like scores mm-hmm. will go back and forth. And that's ripe for a live better. It's a general principle that I think always applies week in and week out. And this is a perfect example.
Judah, you're the best. We appreciate you. You can find all of Judah's great work on PFF.com and the PFF app. Of course, he writes both an alt spreads and an in-game live betting strategy and posts a bunch of great content that you can find on Twitter at Throw the Damn Ball. Judah, we appreciate you. Best of luck this weekend, my man.
Oh, you guys too.
All righty. We will have Tej on momentarily while we're waiting for him. A quick reminder that you can go get the PFF analysis that you crave on the PFF app, which is now available in the iOS App Store. Go sign up. Leave a little 5-star review. Let us know what you think. Holler at the forecast with a little printing press hashtag. Tell us a joke, something like that. If you got something good, we'll read it on here. All of you that listen to the podcast and routinely hit us up on Twitter, we really appreciate it. So thank you for all of your support. Back again for the lock of the week. It's Tej Seth. Tej, we picked the wrong, I realized this going into Thanksgiving. We picked the wrong Thanksgiving prop. It was CeeDee Lamb the whole time. Thankfully, we talked about it. So it's not like the printing press didn't profit. But the teaser, it was a cakewalk. It was actually kind of close. We needed the tease to get Tennessee through the door, but the Steelers was a no-doubter. They ended up obviously winning the game. So let's see if we can repeat that. Tej, you're going to kick us off as we normally do. We talk through our favorite bets, pick the lock or locks of the week. So kick us off, buddy.
Yeah. Super happy with how we did last week. I think a lot of our picks hit. So that was pretty cool. And, you know, I have to start off here with Seattle -7.5. No Matthew Stafford, no Cooper Kupp, no Allen Robinson, no Aaron Donald. You have the worst offensive line in the league. And like the Rams defense, even with Aaron Donald, hasn't been that good this year. They've ranked 16th in EPA per play and 23rd in defending, you know, an EPA per pass allowed. And Geno Smith is like a legit, quarterback at this point in the season. Like, I think we can all agree on that. And I expect Seattle to, you know, just do really well this year. You know, you guys mentioned on the Wednesday show or on the Monday show that, Kansas City could have won by 30. They were just kind of playing with their food in the red zone. And I think Seattle will be more into this game and want to kind of stick it to the Rams, given it's like kind of a rivalry game now and everything too.
No Matt Stafford, no Aaron Donald, no Cooper Kupp. I mean, even Cam Akers is questionable. So it's not looking good. By the way, this is why you listen live on Sunday night as a member of the printing press, because what did we talk about, Brad? We wrote it up. Seattle, I believe they were 3.5 point favorites at that point.
3.5 or 4.5, yep.
Yeah, and it is now 7.5. So you are feasting on closing line value if you got there. Brad, where are you going first?
Yep. So I'm going. We just talked about this game a little bit. The Chiefs minus 2.5. I think we still haven't seen the loss of Chidobe Awuzie in Cincinnati. Since that happened, they played Carolina, who actually did score 21 points. They played Pittsburgh, who put up 30. And they played Tennessee, who doesn't throw the ball. But George Pickens for Pittsburgh had 80 yards and a touchdown. Treylon Burks for Tennessee had 70 yards and a touchdown. You know, the best receiver was producing. And I think now we'll finally see in this game that secondary that is, lacking in talent at corner get exposed a little bit. On the other side of the coin, since Trent McDuffie, the first-round rookie for the Chiefs, came back from injury over the last month, his 79.9 coverage grade is fifth best among corners. And L'Jarius Sneed, their slot corner, has the highest grade, highest coverage grade in the entire NFL the last month at 91.3. So I think we're kind of seeing one coverage unit playing better. The other one has not been truly exposed yet for how bad they really are talent-wise on the outside. And I think Patrick Mahomes will expose that like he always does.
But I think that's a front runner at this point. Let me go to a different game here. And I kind of want to talk through it with you guys here. So Chargers and Raiders, it's the spread here is 1.5. And I look at this game, it's in Las Vegas. I feel like we've watched this game a million times. And it just has to come down to the wire. Like it just has to. I know that the total is 50.5. And generally you want to tease games where you have a low total. But in this situation, I feel as though we are in for, it's a 4 p.m. game. It's going to be a classic there. And so I like that as one side of a teaser leg. Then I think you've got some other options. So actually, Tej, you brought up Seahawks minus 7.5, could tease them through 7 and 3, get them down to just a half point. All they have to do is beat that that Rams team. So I like that one as a potential teaser leg. And then the other one that I'll throw out here is Atlanta at home. This total just 42. You can tease them up to 7. So not quite through 7. That's why I don't like it quite as much. But I really do like that first teaser leg with the Raiders getting teased out. I guess actually you could get it now out to 8. So that is my first submission. Tej, where are you going next?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, love that. And then, I'll go back to something that I think Arjun felt really strongly about on the Sunday show as well. Jacksonville minus 1 against my Detroit Lions. Again, like the Jaguars are ranked higher in EPA per play on both sides of the ball in this game. Kevin Cole's adjusted score metrics show that the Lions offense has been overperforming kind of their success rate and like what you'd expect out of an offense with their success rate. They're relying a little too much on explosive plays for me right now. And like, this is something where it's like, it's been talked about, I think, like a decent amount, but like, I can go into more detail since I see it every week. The Lions every time they come off a heartbreaking loss, for the past couple of years now, but especially under Dan Campbell, they've come out really flat the next week. And, they kind of put everything they had into that Ravens game a year ago when Justin Tucker hit the 66-yard field goal, got smoked the next week. 2 weeks later, they lost to the Vikings on a game-winning field goal, got smoked the next week again. And so, you just come off this really heartbreaking emotional loss to the Bills on Thanksgiving. I could see them, kind of getting run over in this game because that was kind of their season on the line moment for them right there, and they weren't able to execute. A bonus bet in this game, it's not posted yet, but Trevor Lawrence over whatever rushing yards, Josh Allen went over his rushing yards in the first half. That was something that we talked about last week. And so I think Trevor Lawrence can do it again because the Lions give up so many scramble rushing yards right now. It's the most in the league by like a decent margin, just ahead of Brad's Bears. So, I think that could hit as well.
Yeah. And Brad, curious on this one. So looking at the injury list, Penei Sewell, questionable with a leg. Frank Ragnow, questionable with a leg. Jonah Jackson, questionable with a head. Okuda, still questionable as well. Are those guys trending towards not playing? Because if so, it's not like Jared Goff is the most mobile guy on planet Earth.
The offensive linemen, my understanding, are more likely to play than Jeffrey Okuda still. They did look pretty good without both starting guards against the Bills. They managed to play pretty well without Evan Brown and Jonah Jackson. But yeah, that's what it looks like at this moment. Correct me if I'm wrong on that, Tej.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you're right about that.
Cool. All right.
All right, so Brad, where are you heading next?
Yeah. So you guys both touched on my next two. So first, George, I was going to tease the Seahawks and the Raiders. So that was my teaser there. And then second, I like the over in this Jags Lions game. It's at 51.5. I know it's a high number, but in a dome, Trevor Lawrence actually only played one game this season so far in an enclosed stadium. It was when they beat the doors off the Chargers. That's not why I like this. But yeah, Chargers, Jaguars 10th in EPA per play, the Lions 15th. The Jaguars defense is now 20th in EPA per play, and the Lions is still dead last. You just look at the matchup. I mean, you mentioned some injuries to the offensive line, but the Jaguars have decent edge rushers. They don't have much when it comes to pass rush on the interior. Your guy, oh no, I'm blanking now. Your former San Francisco 49ers has been decent in the middle, but nevertheless, not a great passer up the middle. So his injuries, I don't think, matter all that much. And then the flip side, too, the Jaguars have struggled. Darius Williams has been really, really bad in the slot, former Rams legend. And Amon-Ra St. Brown has just been cruising. So I just had the matchup for a lot of reasons. I like a lot of points here. Two good offenses, two bad defenses in a dome.
I'm there with you. All right. I've got I got one more teaser for you. And this is a couple of teams out to 8.5. The New York Football Giants are playing at home against the Washington Commanders. They are a 2.5-point underdog, teasing them out to 8.5 with a game that you already mentioned. The Cincinnati Bengals are 2.5-point underdog. Now, talk about this with Judah a little bit, but this, you know, is a kind of a prime opportunity to get a big middle live because of the fluctuation with these good defenses. But again, this is an opportunity where I think you've got a game between two teams that have enough offensive firepower where it's going to come down to the end, and you have a great shot to keep it under an 8-point spread. So I'm just a teaser factory right here. And it's because quite frankly, they've been so good. Tej, do you have any more for us?
Yeah. Just one more player prop for the Thursday night football game to kind of keep us interested. I like Stephon Diggs over 5.5 receptions. You look at this Patriots defense this year. Belichick's done a tremendous job getting kind of like this makeshift group of corners, playing at a very, very high level. You know, Patriots still rank first against the pass in EPA per pass, but we know that defense is often a product of the offense that you're playing against. And so when you go up against the Bills, you can be susceptible to giving up these big games to wide receiver ones. And since the Patriots don't have a true like lockdown corner, like some other teams do, they've given up a lot of things to wide receiver ones this year. Tyreek Hill cooked them week one. Mark Andrews cooked them after that. Garrett Wilson and Justin Jefferson followed that up by doing really well against the Patriots defense this year. So I could see Stephon Diggs, you know, in his role on Thursday night, you know, doing the same thing to the Patriots defense. And that's what I'm seeing out of that game.
I like that
one. Yeah, we love that one. I'll throw in one more real quick, and you guys tell me if I'm just being a depressed Bears fan. But, okay, the Bears lost Darnell Mooney for the season, Eddie Jackson for the season this past week. Today at practice, Kyler Gordon did not practice, Jaquan Brisker did not practice, starting right tackle Riley Reiff didn't practice, backup left right tackle Larry Borum didn't practice, Chase Claypool was limited, Justin Fields is still limited. I mean, the Bears literally on paper are the worst team in the NFL by like a comfortable margin. And I don't think the Packers are going to just fold up and not care. I think Rodgers is trying to show he does. And also just one last depressing stat here. Mitchell Trubisky is fifth all time among Bears quarterbacks with 64 passing touchdowns. Aaron Rodgers has thrown 63 passing touchdowns against the Chicago Bears. So he could become fifth all time on the Bears quarterback passing list if you want to look at it that way. But yeah, I think part of this line is, oh, Green Bay doesn't care, and they have some injuries of their own, and yada, yada, yada. 4.5 points against this Bears team when it could be a not even 100% healthy Trevor Siemian, or if we're lucky, we get some Nathan Peterman action.
Wow.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
That is that would be such a blessing. My last one is one that we discussed a little bit earlier. This is going to Colts-Cowboys game, and I absolutely love the matchup for CeeDee Lamb. Another week where they're going to be talking about Odell Beckham Jr. We talked about this last week, what that means for CeeDee Lamb and against a team in the Colts that has their weakest link at slot, and that player, Kenny Moore, potentially not playing, did not practice today, so it was banged up. I'm guessing that'll be at 6.5, maybe, you know, -110 on both sides. So that would be the last one that I will throw out. All right, gentlemen, it is time to pick. Brad, I want to start with you. What is your favorite bet that we've talked about so far.
Teasers are treated as well. So I'll go with the Seahawks Raiders teaser as my number one choice.
Okay. Tej, what about you?
Yeah, that was my number one choice as well. Yeah, teasers have done really well for us this year, like Brad said. And I like those two teams in those spots.
All right. Are there any, I'm on board with that. Are there any more that are calling our name? I think we've talked about a couple of props that we like. Do we want to keep it to one this week, or are we intrigued by adding a few more?
I feel like we got to add a couple more now. You gave me the itch. Now I got to scratch it.
Yeah. Now we got to add some more. So let me throw this out there. I think both the Diggs and Lamb overs are really like they stick out to me. I think I'm going to bet them both. Those would be the two that stuck out.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Agreed. Yep. And then last thing I'll throw in is Chiefs.
Okay. We're going to four pack.
I was just throwing it out there.
What do you think, Tej?
Yeah, I'm fine with the quartet. I like that.
Let's do it.
Quartet.
Let's do it. Lucky number week 13, our locks of the week. We've got a Raiders and Seahawks teaser. The Raiders out to 7.5 at home. The Seahawks down to 0.5 on the road, air quotes, against the air quotes NFL football team Rams. We have Kenny Moore against CeeDee Lamb. We're taking CeeDee Lamb over. I'm going to say that's 6.5. If it changes, that's what the number will be. We've got Stephon Diggs. Do you see that at 5.5 or 6.5, Tej?
I saw that at 5.5 when I was looking at the player props tool earlier, okay. But maybe it did move up. But I thought it was 5.5, yeah.
Okay, I am seeing 6.5. We'll check after. Go find it. I think we like it either way. And then we'll close it out with the Kansas City Chiefs covering 2.5, I should say, in Cincinnati. Those are the locks of the week. Tej, it is always a pleasure. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Good luck to you and your Lions. Is Jameson Williams back this week?
He's not going to play this week. Probably the week after. Okay. But I am excited for him to get in there.
You got to have something to root for. It'll be good after they get the doors blown off them by the resurgent Jacksonville Jaguars. Anyways, that was our show. Again, we'll be back on Sunday night live for you to digest this all and give our early best bets. Make sure you jump on, be a member of the printing press there so you can get all the closing line value that you deserve. Have a wonderful week. Love you.